In the gospel reading today, St. Paul tells us that he hands on to us what had been given to him, and that is that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, took the bread and the wine and changed them into himself. We recognize that in this, it is unlike what so many like to say today, that the Eucharist is a medieval invention of the church, that somehow or another someone came up with this in the Middle Ages. St. Paul tells us that he got it from the Lord. We see it in the Gospels. This is something that the early Christians believed in and were willing to die for. You can look at somebody like St. Tarcisius, who was martyred, bringing the Holy Eucharist to the Christians who were in prison. This isn't something that they saw as a symbol or as a sign of our Lord. They understood exactly not what this is, but who this is. It is the Lord. Now we live in a time of tragic unbelief. We think that everything has to have some sort of scientific proof or else it doesn't exist. Well, of course, our blessed Lord knew our stupidity. He knew that this is exactly what we were going to do. So he proved it. We don't believe because of any of these things. We believe because he said it. He is God, and he said, "This is my body and this is my blood." That's why we believe. But just like Thomas, "I will not believe until I put my finger into the holes in his hands." Well, we've got all kinds of people say, "I won't believe until I can see it under a microscope." So he gave it to us. For those who refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus, he gave us these occasions where the host is turned into a piece of flesh. You can go to this day. There's one in Portugal. There's one in Italy. Been there 1,200 years. Flesh rots out after a few days. These have been there, one for 1,200 years, one for 800 years. And the church that people think is opposed to science has told the scientists, "Go ahead and take a look." And they have. He said, "Well, this is a rather amazing thing." They said, "This is from a male from who was around 30 years old somewhere. And he came from Israel because of the spores that we can see in there. And he has AB blood, which is the rarest type of blood. And most importantly, it's cardiac tissue. There's only one place in your body that has cardiac tissue, and that's your heart." Now, we might look at it and say, "Oh, yeah, that was, you know, back 800, 1,200 years ago." So God knew our unbelief, and you can look it up on YouTube if you want. About 30 years ago in Buenos Aires, down in Argentina, there was a host that fell on the floor. And so the priest put it in the water to dissolve it. And they came back a few days later to put it down the sacrarium. They noticed that it had changed. And so they sent it to a lab. And they said, "Well, this isn't bread. This is a human person." So they sent it to a lab in Los Angeles. They didn't tell him what it was. They said, "Well, this doesn't make any sense because this is just a small piece, but it's alive. It's pulsating. There's a heartbeat. This doesn't make any sense. How can something that's separate from the body that it came from be alive?" So then they sent it to another lab in New York because there was a scientist there who was able to recognize different things that happen in the blood and so on when you're you know, the body will produce certain things at the time you're dying. And this man was able to look at it with all of his equipment, and he said, well, this doesn't make any sense. He said, I can see this is a dead man. And he died a horribly tragic death because I can see the stuff that's in his blood. But he's alive. How can this be? Well, you can look it up. There's a scientist who's the one explaining it all. It's just called it's been years since I've looked it up, but you can look up Buenos Aires Eucharistic Miracle. And it's put up there in little chunks, 10-minute chunks or whatever it was. And he just goes through and explains it all. You can look up the miracle that happened out in the East Coast someplace, Rhode Island, I think it was. It's a little girl out there, they called her Little Audrey. And she had drowned in a pool, but they were able to revive her, but she didn't have much function other than to lay in bed. But people would come and ask her to pray, and she would take on their ailments, and they were healed. And there were so many people coming that finally the bishop gave permission for them to change their garage into a little chapel. So they were filming one day as the priest was saying Mass, and the host started to bleed. And this would happen frequently because the bishop also gave permission for a tabernacle to be placed in her bedroom. And they would come in the morning, there'd be blood all over the place coming out of the tabernacle. And there are lots and lots of occasions where this has happened. Still, people don't want to believe because they refuse to believe in the Lord. So, if you struggle with your faith, look it up. God gave us all the science to be able to back it up. But we don't believe because of that. Because no matter what, even though they can say, yeah, this is a 33-year-old male that came from the Holy Land and, you know, he suffered terribly, we still can't prove scientifically that this is Jesus. It's pretty obvious to anyone with faith. You still have to have faith. And so we have to look at that for our own selves and ask ourselves, what is it that I really believe? Like I said, we believe because Jesus said it. And we struggle and we say, well, how can this be? Well, first understand that Jesus, except in those occasions where the host has actually turned into a piece of flesh, Jesus is not physically present in the Eucharist. People get confused about this. He is sacramentally present in the Eucharist, not physically present. What that means is that when you receive Holy Communion, you don't receive a little piece of Jesus. You receive his entire person. 100% of his entire person. He is substantially and sacramentally present. Your substance is what makes you who you are. So the substance of the bread, that is, the thing that makes the bread into bread, changes to become the substance of our Lord Jesus. If the accidents of the bread changed, that means the things that we can see and touch and taste, when that changes, then it becomes a piece of flesh, as in those occasions where that has occurred. Now, in those cases, Jesus is no longer sacramentally present. He is physically present. And in those cases, it is a piece of our Lord, not the entire person. But again, in every one of these occasions, as I said, it's cardiac tissue. He's giving you his heart. He's trying to say to you, here's how much I love you. All we have to do is look at our own situations in our families and how much we love to be able to look back. And if we have pictures maybe from the 1800s, earlier the 1900s, like, oh, look at great-grandma and grandpa, this is what they, you know, we love to be able to do that kind of thing because it connects us with our past. Jesus told us that he was going to remain with us all days until the end of the world. And we could look at it and say, well, yeah, he's in heaven, he's with us because he's God. And he is. But he's with us in the Blessed Sacrament. He is with us. He is truly there. His entire person. That's the part that we must understand. And so we have a treasure that is infinite and is eternal. And these things that I'm talking about, while we can grasp the concepts in our head, the reality of our Lord's presence in the Eucharist can only be grasped with your heart. All of the explanation isn't going to prove anything to anyone. All we can say is, oh, now I understand. It's sacramental. It's not physical. It's substantial. It's all, you know, we can go through all the distinctions and so on. But that's not going to make anybody say, oh, yeah, I get it now. Jesus is really there. And you're going to get it in the heart, not in the head. It's fine to understand all the distinctions. It's important to understand all the distinctions. But as I keep pointing out, Satan can make all those same distinctions. Satan understands it in his mind. He doesn't believe it for a minute. And tragically, neither do most Catholics. 75% of people who come to Mass on Sunday say that they do not believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Those are the people who come to Mass. The other 75% who don't come to Mass obviously don't believe, or they would be lined up outside trying to get in. But obviously, we don't recognize the gift that our Lord has given us. It is the ultimate gift because it is the Lord himself. If we really believed as Catholics, we would be wanting to spend time with him. We'd want to be with him. And we tend not to. So we need to think about that. We need to think about our deportment in church. As one Protestant man pointed out to his Catholic friend who was giving him a little tour of the church, pointed up to the tabernacle and he said, well, that's where Jesus is. And he said, no, it's not. He said, yeah, that's what we believe. He said, no, you don't. He said, yeah, we do. I'm telling you, I'm Catholic. This is what we believe. Because he said, no, you don't. He said, if I believed that Jesus was there, I'd be flat down on my face right now, and you Catholics just goof around in church and you ignore him and you don't talk to him and you act like he's not there. Bingo. Something for all of us to think about. When Pope John Paul came to Baltimore, he was going to go to visit the seminary there. And of course, the CIA or the FBI or Secret Service or whoever it is had to go through and make sure there wasn't somebody who was going to try and shoot him. So they came in with their dogs, made everybody get out. They went through the building with the dogs, all the rooms and everything, just looking to see if there was somebody hiding in a closet or in a confessional or whatever. So they went through the entire place. The last place they went to is the chapel. The dogs are trained to find any human being. So they went back and forth through all the pews and so on. Then the two dogs simultaneously got to the Blessed Sacrament, to the tabernacle, And they both gave their masters the sign that there is a living person right here. Dogs can pick it up, and human beings refuse to believe. What are we doing? We have the greatest gift that God can possibly give us. It is Himself. Maybe we just take it too for granted, that we ignore Him, that we don't pay any attention. Maybe it's because when we receive Holy Communion, we don't see anything happen. I mean, after all, you look in the Old Testament, when those two young men touched the Ark of the Covenant, they died on the spot. If this is God, how could I receive God into myself and not die? Because of His mercy. But if this is God, how come I'm not changed? That's my fault, not His. If I'm not changed, it's because I'm not allowing myself to be changed. If I'm not changed, it's because I'm not opening my heart to be able to allow Him to work within me. If I'm not changed, it's maybe because all I'm doing is going through the motions, but my heart is far from Him. That's what every one of us needs to look at. As I keep on saying, it's not about what you have in your head. You know what the church teaches. You know what the truth is. You've been taught. You know the catechism. You know all the things. It's not about what you have in your head. It's what you have in your heart. That's what we have to be about. What is in the heart? Do we truly love Jesus? Not give Him lip service, not repeat what's in the catechism. Love the person. That's what we have to be about. That's what He desires from us. He is there because He loves us. He wants us to love Him. So yes, we cannot love what we do not know, St. Thomas tells us. So we have to know the truth. We have to know those points from the catechism. But now we have to get it from our head down into the heart. Because our Lord's presence in the Eucharist is not just a doctrinal point. It is a reality. And so it's not just something written up in books that we can glean some knowledge. He is a person. And a person is to be known and to be loved. Not just known about, to be known. And you can only know Him by spending time with Him. You can only love Him by being united with Him. That's what He does for us. And that's what He wants us to do with Him. That's why He's there. Not for a selfish reason, so, oh, wouldn't it be nice if all you people loved me? No, it's because it's what's best for us. He doesn't get anything from it. Absolutely zero. If you love Him truly with your whole heart and soul and strength, that does not add anything to Him. He doesn't get anything more out of it than what He already is because He's God. He's perfect. He's absolute. So we can't add anything to Him. He is there because He loves you. And if you love Him, that's what's best for you. That's what He's trying to get across to us. So it's we who are the ones who gain from this, not Him. So if we can understand that, then we can come to Him and we can love Him. That's what He desires, because that's what's truly best for us. So bring that to prayer. Ponder that deeply in your heart. And again, as you receive Holy Communion, you go back to your pew. Close your eyes and go inside and unite yourself with Him. And if you don't notice that there's any change happening, then don't blame him. Look at yourself and ask yourself, why am I not allowing him to change me? Why is my heart not open enough to be able to be moved by what's happening? And pray to him for that grace to open the heart, to love him, and to allow him to love you, because he really is there. It is the Lord, truly present, the fullness of his being, body, blood, soul, and divinity, his humanity and his divinity. 100% of his person is right there in the Blessed Sacrament for us to come and pray anytime, and most importantly, to receive him so that we can be transformed into the Lord himself.